No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, everyone, to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 25th day of June. And boy, am I glad that you are here. What a joy, an honor, a very distinct privilege it is for me to be here and reading the Word of God. A job, I can't even call it a job, a joy that I treasure, I take very seriously, and I'm humbled. I won't cry, to be the one to be here with each of you and to be some part of your spiritual journey in this space on this day. Today we continue in the book of 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. We're going to go back to reading them both at the same time today. Today we read 1 Kings chapter 15 verses 1 through 24, and then we will flip to 2 Chronicles and read chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. Today we read the Christian Standard Bible, 1 Kings chapter 15. In the 18th year of Israel's king Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah, and he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. Abijam walked in all the sins his father before him had committed, and he was not wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his God as his ancestor David had been. But for the sake of David, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up his son after him and by preserving Jerusalem. For David did what was right in the Lord's sight, and he did not turn aside from anything he had commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. There had been war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of Rehoboam's life. The rest of the events of Abijam's reign, along with all his accomplishments, are written in the historical record of Judah's kings. There was also war between Abijam and Jeroboam. Abijam rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. His son Asa became king in his place. In the 20th year of Israel's king Jeroboam, Asa became king of Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the Lord's sight, as his ancestor David had done. He banished the male cult prostitutes from the land and removed all of the idols that his ancestors had made. He also removed his grandmother, Maacah, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. Asa chopped down her obscene image and burned it in the Kidron Valley. The high places were not taken away, but Asa was wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his entire life. He brought his father's consecrated gifts and his own consecrated gifts into the Lord's temple, silver, gold, and utensils. There was war between Asa and King Baasha of Israel throughout their reigns. Israel's King Baasha went to war against Judah. He built Ramah in order to keep anyone from leaving or coming to King Asa of Judah. So Asa withdrew all the silver and gold that remained in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the treasuries of the royal palace and gave it to his servants. Then King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, son of Tibramon, son of Hezion, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a treaty between me and you, between my father and your father. Look, I have sent you a gift of silver and gold. Go and break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. He attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Maacah, all Chinnereth, and the whole land of Naphtali. When Baasha heard about it, he quit building Ramah and stayed in Tirzah. Then King Asa gave a command to everyone without exception in Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timbers Baasha had built it with. Then King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah with them. The rest of all the events of Asa's reign, along with all his might, all his accomplishments, and the cities he built, are written in the historical record of Judah's kings. But in his old age, he developed a disease in his feet. Then Asa rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of his ancestor David. His son Jehoshaphat became king in his place. 2 Chronicles chapters 13 through 16. In the 18th year of Israel's king Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah, and he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Michaiah, daughter of Uriel. She was from Gibeah. There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah set his army of warriors in order with 400,000 fit young men. Jeroboam arranged his mighty army of 800,000 fit young men in battle formation against him. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, and said, "Jeroboam and all Israel, hear me. Don't you know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingship over Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt? But Jeroboam, son of Nebat, a servant of Solomon, son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Then worthless and wicked men gathered around him to resist Rehoboam, son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young, inexperienced, and unable to assert himself against them. And now you are saying you can assert yourselves against the Lord's kingdom, which is in the hand of one of David's sons. You are a vast number, and have with you the golden calves that Jeroboam made for you as gods. Didn't you banish the priests of the Lord, the descendants of Aaron and the Levites, and make your own priests like the people of other lands do? Whoever comes to ordain himself with a young bull and 7 rams may become a priest of what are not gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God. We have not abandoned him. The priests ministering to the Lord are descendants of Aaron, and the Levites serve at their tasks. They offer a burnt offering and fragrant incense to the Lord every morning and every evening, and they set the rows of the bread of the presence on the ceremonially clean table. They light the lamps of the gold lampstand every evening. We are carrying out the requirements of the Lord our God, while you have abandoned him. Look, God and his priests are with us at our head. The trumpets are ready to sound the charge against you. Israelites, don't fight against the Lord God of your ancestors, for you will not succeed." Now Jeroboam had sent an ambush around to advance from behind them. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. Judah turned and discovered that the battle was in front of them and behind them. So they cried out to the Lord. Then the priests blew the trumpets, and the men of Judah raised the battle cry. When the men of Judah raised the battle cry, God routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. So the Israelites fled before Judah, and God handed them over to them. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a mighty blow, and 500,000 fit young men of Israel were killed. The Israelites were subdued at that time. The Judahites succeeded because they depended on the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Abijah pursued Jeroboam and captured some cities from him, Bethel, Jeshanah, and Ephron, along with their surrounding villages. Jeroboam no longer retained his power during Abijah's reign. Ultimately, the Lord struck him and he died. However, Abijah grew strong, acquired 14 wives, and fathered 22 sons and 16 daughters. The rest of the events of Abijah's reign, along with his ways and his sayings, are written in the writing of the prophet Iddo. Abijah rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. His son Asa became king in his place. During his reign, the land experienced peace for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the pagan altars and the high places. He shattered their sacred pillars and chopped down their Asherah poles. He told the people of Judah to seek the Lord God of their ancestors and to carry out the instruction and the commands. He also removed the high places and the shrines from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom experienced peace under him. Because the land experienced peace, Asa built fortified cities in Judah. No one made war with him in those days because the Lord gave him rest. So he said to the people of Judah, "Let's build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, with doors and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God. We sought him, and he gave us rest on every side." So they built and succeeded. Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah bearing large shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin bearing regular shields and drawing the bow. All these were valiant warriors. Then Zerah the Cushite came against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. They came as far as Mareshah. So Asa marched out against him and lined up in battle formation in Zephathah Valley at Mareshah. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, "Lord, there is no one besides you to help the mighty and those without strength. Help us, Lord our God, for we depend on you, and in your name we have come against this large army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let a mere mortal hinder you." So the Lord routed the Cushites before Asa and before Judah, and the Cushites fled. Then Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar. The Cushites fell until they had no survivors, for they were crushed before the Lord and his army. So the people of Judah carried off a great supply of loot. Then they attacked all the cities around Gerar because the terror of the Lord was on them. They also plundered all the cities, since there was a great deal of plunder in them. They also attacked the tents of the herdsmen and captured many sheep and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. So he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, hear me. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For many years, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without instruction. But when they turned to the Lord God of Israel in their distress and sought him, he was found by them. In those times, there was no peace for those who went about their daily activities because the residents of the lands had many conflicts. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every possible distress. But as for you, be strong, don't give up, for your work has a reward." When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abhorrent idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. He renovated the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, as well as those from the tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who were residing among them, for they had defected to him from Israel in great numbers when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They were gathered in Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. At that time, they had sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from all the plunder they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their ancestors with all their heart and all their soul. Whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel would be put to death, young or old, man or woman. They took an oath to the Lord in a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with ram's horns. All Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They had sought him with all sincerity, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. King Asa also removed Maacah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. Asa chopped down her obscene image, then crushed it and burned it in the Kidron Valley. The high places were not taken away from Israel, nevertheless. Asa was wholeheartedly devoted his entire life. He brought his father's consecrated gifts and his own consecrated gifts into God's temple, silver, gold, and utensils. There was no war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. In the 36th year of Asa, Israel's king Baasha went to war against Judah. He built Ramah in order to keep anyone from leaving or coming to King Asa of Judah. So Asa brought out the silver and gold from the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the royal palace and sent it to Aram's king Ben-Hadad, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There's a treaty between me and you, between my father and your father. Look, I have sent you silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Israel's king Baasha, so that he will withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies to the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. When Baasha heard about it, he quit building Ramah and stopped his work. Then King Asa brought all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timbers Baasha had built it with. Then he built Geba and Mizpah with them. At that time, the seer Hanani came to King Asa of Judah and said to him, "Because you depended on the king of Aram and have not depended on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from you. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a vast army with many chariots and horsemen? When you depended on the Lord, he handed them over to you. For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. You have been foolish in this matter. Therefore, you will have wars from now on." Asa was enraged with the seer and put him in prison because of his anger over this. And Asa mistreated some of the people at that time. Note that the events of Asa's reign from beginning to end are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a disease in his feet, and his disease became increasingly severe. Yet even in his disease, he didn't seek the Lord, but only the physicians. Asa rested with his ancestors. He died in the 41st year of his reign. He was buried in his own tomb that he had made for himself in the city of David. They laid him out in a coffin that was full of spices and various mixtures of prepared ointments, and they made a great fire in his honor. Okay, so we are thick into the leadership and the kings that led the nation of Israel, but the nation of Israel is no longer what it has been since its establishment. It is now north and south. And so as we get to this part of the Bible, we're going through Kings really fast, because where we began with King Saul, which led to King David, which then led to King David's son, King Solomon, we really kind of got to know them for a hot minute. But as we're seeing in this sort of rapid-fire king introduction and farewell, we see instantly who did good in the eyes of the Lord and who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And good is obeying God and his commands and leading the people in the fear of God. And they do so by modeling that. Not establishing rules and doing a do as I say, not as I do. If we haven't figured this out by now, but this hypocrisy, this double standard of living in parenting, in religion, in life, leads to rebellion. It leads to confusion, and it leads ultimately to rebellion. Because who can keep someone accountable to say, "You didn't do as I said," if they can say back to you, "But you did it"? So the best way to lead is by example. Simple, but ever so complicated. So it's really quite a big deal when we read of a king and we know immediately that they did evil in the sight of God. This means they led the people into direct rebellion and disobedience to God. And this is a nation that is set apart, holy, not because of superiority, not because of special treatment, because they have been chosen to make God's name known and great throughout the nations, the surrounding nations, because there are other gods being worshipped. Obviously, we're reading this in the story. So to lead people into idol worship, to put oneself before God, to bring people to worship man rather than worship Almighty God, is a big problem. And this is what happens from leader to leader. And what happens is when these leaders then build new idols, new altars for worship, and do away with that which God commanded, then it takes the next leader who lives in the fear of God to come in and destroy what is evil. And the problem with that is you've got the people who are blinded because they're following a leader, a man, and not God. And they think what is actually evil is good. It takes a leader, a king, that actually lives in the fear of God and knows his heart, knows his ways, knows his commands, and is not afraid to obey and to follow God and to reinstate that which God has commanded. And so there is a lot of push and pull in these readings, in these stories today. But what we ultimately see is an allegiance to political position rather than to God Almighty. And we will watch this play out back and forth, as we meet and say goodbye to the kings in rapid fire pace. So Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can surrender wholly to you, God. I pray that we would take this time to examine our own hearts. What have we put above you? What person have we put our faith and our trust in above you and abandoned you and are maybe not even aware that we have abandoned you, thinking that we have committed our whole life to you and surrendered our whole being to you. And instead, we're just following a system. We're following an ego. We're following a persona. I pray that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear that which we have not yet seen or heard. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and do what it is that you long to do in us, through us, and among us. I give you thanks and praise. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Let's talk about walking, shall we? Let's talk about July 7th, walking on July 7th. That is the long walk, the international holiday here at the Daily Audio Bible. Everyone will be, not everyone, a lot of people will be walking all over the globe. I wish we could have little light up shoes. That would be so fun. Light up shoes. That way we would all know that we're dabbers and we're walking. How fun would that be? I might need to look into that. Hope that you'll join us on the long walk, July the 7th. Just get up, get out, take some water, and walk with God. Be alone with God. Be intentional with God. Be quiet if you want. Take your music if you want. I can recommend a few things for you that are available in the store. We'll talk about that another day. But get out, get alone, get walking, and then share it with your brothers and sisters around the globe in this beautiful community of people. We will tell you where to post your pictures, your videos, as it gets closer to the long walk, but we certainly do hope that you will join us coming up very quickly here, July the 7th. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or utilizing the app, hit the Give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for Give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164, or you can utilize the app. Again, hit the red circle button up at the top right section, right next to the Give icon. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you're finished, just hit that little red microphone, and then right below it on the right, hit chronological. Make sure that it gets to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll continue in the Kings and the Chronicles tomorrow. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Good morning, DABC. Shalom, shalom. I heard a prayer request on the 18th for a woman who is going to be losing her place of residence. She has cats and she needs a place to live. So I am coming up beside with prayers in the name of Jesus and lifting her up for God's grace and mercy. I pray that she finds herself surrounded by people that can help her, can find her a place to live. And we don't know what that looks like, but God knows what that looks like, because he is the God of impossible. And just wrap his arms around her and give her strength and love and provision, mighty, mighty, mighty provision. And we just ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hi, DABC family. This is Grace in NorCal, and I'm asking for prayer for healing and about confusion as well. I know God has been trying to teach me something, and the enemy is just trying to confuse me and keep me lost. I literally broke my bone about a week ago, and it was kind of funny to me because the word of the year is repair. And at the beginning of the year, I was like, sweet, my marriage is going to be repaired. And also God has been revealing some other words to me, like reveal and return and restore. And I see that as just like in my bone, revealing what the issue is before it can be restored. It has to be set. And so, God, what is in my heart that needs to be revealed? Open the eyes of my heart so that I can see. And then the word return is to repent, and repent away from what is the divide between us, God. And then the word repair is what needs to be set. How do you set it straight so that it can be restored? And Lord, I just ask for the restoration, not only of my arm, but of my heart, of my marriage. Lead me to an understanding in my soul and physically. Return me back to you, God.
Hello, everybody. I'm Eunice from Holland, from the Netherlands. I have a son, he's 15, with autism and a kind of PDA, you call it. Persistent demanding avoidance. It's very hard for him. He's social, emotional, very young. We have help, but I ask prayer for God to help him in this life. And he has a chronic, he's very, very tired, exhausted. And I will pray, I will ask for praying for a solution that we can find why he's so exhausted all the time, some medical thing. I pray that God will point it out and we can solve that thing and help him with his autism.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Joe Kin from Seattle. And I'm just calling to pray for my brother Matthew. He struggles with marijuana abuse, and right now he is at a point where he can't afford it anymore, and so he doesn't have any. But I don't think that that's the issue. The issue is that he's had a lot of trauma in his life, and the enemy constantly is trying to throw fiery darts at his head about the past and stuff. But so, Father, I just come to you and I ask you that you be with my brother through his depression right now, through his anxiety, the stuff that he's dealing with his mental issues and stuff right now. And Father, I just lift him up to you and I pray a hedge of protection around him, that we find a good counselor for him, and the counselor that we do have for him gives him good, solid advice and some good treatment programs and stuff, and that my brother takes and wants to desire to get better, that he wants to go into recovery, recovery group or whatever that has to happen. And I love my brother so much right now, and he's dealing with a lot of anger, and you know, it's kind of leaning over on me. I don't want to pray for me right now. I want to pray for my brother because I love him, and I don't want to separate myself from him. I just want to continue doing good to help him, Father. But I need your wisdom to help him. I need you to help me help him, because my way is not good. My way sometimes is not helpful, Father. But so I'm just asking for wisdom and help and good counseling for my brother to seek help and recover from his addiction. And this is Joe Ken from Seattle.